salvation, right? By grace through faith. And there are a lot of people that have security of the believer, correct? They're not only saved, they know how saved they are. But when it comes to this next thing, there's a great deal of spiritual ignorance in this world. And it's largely because people really only want to know the truth up to a point. They like the idea of salvation by grace through faith. They like the idea that they can't lose it, that it's permanent. They like the idea that they are going to heaven. That's very appealing. But when it comes to being in proper fellowship with the Lord, that is something that requires an effort on their part that many times they're not willing to make. Now, I'm always thankful when someone is saved and when they understand security of the believer, but I'm a lot more satisfied in my own conscience and heart when they understand the significance of the local church. The Lord himself established the local church for a purpose. After you get saved, you're going to sin. And you're going to walk a path contrary to the word of God. And you may walk it in ignorance. Ignorance of what? Ignorance of the word of God. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It's where God put the truth. It's where you learn how to walk and to obey the commandments of the Lord. And the subject in the 15th chapter is fellowship with the Lord after you're saved. Now, with people that you meet every day, your friends, you have fellowship with them based on how well you get along together. And it's a lot of give and take. You learn with them to compromise on some things you believe because you like to be with them. And they learn to compromise with some things they don't like about you because they like to be with you. And you have a fellowship together, but it's based on mutual, back off here, back off there, okay on this, okay on that. And you have that kind of a fellowship with these people. But the fellowship with the Lord is quite different because you're dealing with someone who's perfect. And you have to understand in your own heart, in your own life, I hope you understand, that you're not, and I'm not, far from it. So Jesus is perfect. Everything he thinks, everything he does, everything he says, everything he is 100% correct. He's perfect in love, he's perfect in understanding, he's perfect in all these things. So the fellowship with him is strictly on his terms, because he can't compromise with you. He can't back off and say, okay, you go ahead and you do that. Yeah, it'll be all right, and we can get along together. He can't compromise because he's perfect. You and I can compromise because we realize we're very imperfect. And we'll back off on one thing when another fellow we like will back off on another. You can't do that with the Lord. It just can't be done. So you fellowship with the Lord according to his rules. Now, the Lord decided for some reason that I do not completely understand to put the presence of his Son in each local visible assembly, which the Bible calls the church, to put his Son in the midst of the church so that the people could learn to fellowship with one another and they could learn to fellowship with the church, which is the body of Christ. And in so doing, they would be obeying the will of God, and they would be fellowshipping with God through Jesus Christ, through his local body, which is the church. Now, I didn't make the rules, and I'm glad I didn't, because I'm tremendously imperfect. But Jesus made the rules. So this 15th chapter is really talking about fellowship with the church, which is the local visible body of Christ. Now, I started off with this several weeks ago. Stay in fellowship with the body of Christ. It's up to you. You can go your own way and you won't lose your salvation. You can quit coming to church. You're not going to hell. But if you want the true reward, the full reward in heaven, and you want to obey God, it's going to require an effort on your part. Stay in fellowship with the body of Christ. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I covered verses 15, 1 through 13. I talked about this purging, changing of a person's ideals, changing them to conform to what Jesus thinks rather than the way they think things should be. That's what it means in Philippians when it says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. So the first thing, a person has to get straight after he's been made clean, saved, soul sanctified, forever sealed by Jesus. The first thing he has to decide is, am I going to fellowship with God on his terms? Doesn't mean you go to hell if you don't, but it means this is the way God wants it. Acts 2, 41-42. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day they were added unto them by baptism about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the teaching of the apostles, the New Testament, and fellowship. This is the fellowship, fellowshipping with the body of Christ, and in breaking of bread, the observance of the Lord's Supper, and in prayers for one another. Now what is this purging? Ephesians 5, 26-33, speaking of the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own body, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Jesus loves all men. He loves the family of God. He loves all those that are saved. And he wants all those that are lost to be saved. But he wants to have a special fellowship with you. And for some reason, he has decided to fellowship with you through each local church. What is a local church? Well, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. When you married, you pledged your allegiance to your wife, or you pledged your allegiance to your husband. And they are supposed to become the leading focus of your life, and you're supposed to put them above the desires and will of your family, as long as they're in the will of God. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and they shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. When you united with the church through baptism, you became a literal, physical, functioning, spiritual part of that body. And you're supposed to have the same attitude that a wife has when she leaves her family, takes on the name of her husband, and tries to be a loyal, faithful wife to him. How do I know that what I just told you is true? Paul says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He said, everything I've written to you in this fifth chapter is about Christ and the church. He said, in spite of that, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and see that the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now in Ephesians 2:22, in whom you also are built together for habitation of God through the Spirit. Ephesians 3:21, in whom unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You want to give glory to God, you're going to have to be in fellowship with him. It's going to have to be by Christ Jesus, and it's going to have to be in a local church. You can't pick your own way on this. You can't say, well, this is the way I think I can do it best. This is what I think is acceptable to God. This is what I find peace on. This is what I believe to be correct. You cannot fellowship properly and stay in fellowship with God unless you do it his way. And it has to be in a local church. And it has to be by Christ Jesus, who is in the midst of every local church. And you don't have an option in this. You have an option to say, no, I don't want to do it that way. You have that option. And it's your right, and it's your option. And I talked about that on the first Sunday I presented it. Then I talked about being born again in 1 Peter 1, 23-25. I talked about how you were born again by accepting the truth about Jesus Christ and believing that you were saved by the power of God, which is in the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary for your sins. And then I pointed out what's supposed to happen in a local church. You're supposed to lay apart all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. But quite frankly, you're supposed to do that even if you never join a church. So if you're saved, should you lay aside all malice? Yeah. Should you lay aside all guile, hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking? Yes. You certainly should. And many do. But the question here is, Are you going to do what God said, the way he said, to stay in fellowship with him? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We're told that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It's the way you grow spiritually. Many people go to a church and they want a minister that slings snots of lava from one end of the front to the other. He screams, jumps up and down, he hollers, puts on a show, and after the show is over, they judge him on how good a show he put on. As newborn babes desire sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted the Lord is gracious. You don't know how gracious the Lord is. Not a one of you sitting here, not a one of you, not a single one of you know how gracious the Lord is. And I don't either. I don't either. But I know this. He's a lot more gracious to me now than he was a year ago. You want to know why? Because I have to study and research this stuff you see on the screen. And every year I discover that I'm worse than I thought. And that he really forgave me of more than I ever imagined. That's what fellowship with the Lord is. It's understanding about yourself through the preached word in his church. And this is where God means for you to be. To whom coming? It means you keep on coming. You keep on coming to Christ. You can't do it properly unless you're doing it the way he directs. To whom coming means to keep on coming. As unto a living stone, disallowed of deed of men, but chosen of God and precious. He says, ye also, this is the local church, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We may not look like much, and this is certainly not the most elaborate building in the world. I'm very thankful for it. I thank God for it. And we don't have a vast coliseum packed like Benny Hinn or Oral Roberts or Jack Van Impe or all the rest of those people. But that's not the church. That's a bunch of people that have decided to do it their way. They don't want to follow God's will. They like it their way. That's why you have so many different interpretations, so many different ideas, so many of them that speak in tongues and tell them God gave them this special revelation. They're not following God. They're following their own imagination and the revelations of the flesh. We are supposed to do it God's way. This is the way it was in the time of Christ. He was just a man, the living Son of God, who collected up a bunch of Galilean fishermen and one Judean, who was Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. All the rest of them were from the northern part of Israel. They were just rough-cut men and women. He collected them up, and as they followed him, they offered up spiritual sacrifices to God because they were following the man that God sent. Well, that's what we're supposed to do today. And he walked over 50 miles to be baptized. So I didn't have to walk 50 miles. I just walked down a church aisle. John 15, 3 through 5. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. And the church is the vine. It's the body of Christ. Christ is the vine. But the church is the body of Christ. And it is through the body of Christ, by Christ Jesus, that we give honor and glory to God. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. You say, well, look, just look at all these wondrous things that are being done by Benny Hinn, Jack Van Impe, all those wonderful men on television that you're sending your money into, and they're even taking the Lord's Supper now and Mass. Look at all the wonderful things they're doing. Are souls being saved? Some. Not nearly as many as they think. Well then, that gives glory to God. But it's the word that saved them, not the man, not the individual. And those people are not being taught what the church is. And they think it's a great universal invisible body of believers. And they call it the church, and it is not. Every believer on this earth is a child of God. And every believer on this earth is in the family of God. And every believer on this earth is a child of God. But not all of God's children are following the teachings of Christ. And not all of them are in fellowship with God through Christ because they're not following his teachings. I am the vine, ye are the branches. His body on this earth is his vine. He is the vine. The church is the vine because it is his body. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Why should you join a church? Why should you be baptized? It's what God wanted you to do. Ephesians 3:21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So this 15th chapter of John is the book about fellowship. And we've gone all the way from John 15, 1 through 27, and I've explained it in intricate detail, line by line, verse by verse. John 1, 15, 1 through 27, I've gone all the way down to verse 7. I've done it in the previous Sunday morning. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purchaseth, that it may bring forth fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, neither except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. You cannot produce the kind of fruit that God wants you to produce unless you are a member of one of the Lord's churches and you can teach people the truth about it. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Okay. So why have I spent all this time? Well, we got down to right here on the Sunday before I left. What's this whole thing about? Fellowship with the Lord. Fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. Now remember, fellowship with your wife, fellowship with your friends, fellowship with other people is different from fellowship with the Lord. In this church, in the 30 years I've been here, I've learned what makes you mad. I've learned what makes you glad. I've learned what makes you sad. I've learned how you think certain things I do and judge them, and you approve or disapprove of them. If I haven't learned anything else in the 30 years, I've learned you. Have I learned you perfectly? No. But I know how far I can go with you, and you not explode, because some of you have exploded. And so I stop that and back off. Now, you have to learn in life how to deal with people. You have to. And it's a game of compromise. It's a game of, I don't want to make you mad, because then you will get mad and you won't like me. And you know about how far you can go with me. We know how far we can go with each other. It's fellowship. It's not the same way with the Lord. You're not in fellowship with God unless you're in one of his churches. I just put it fairly and bluntly. I just put it straightforward. I could sugarcoat it, and I could compromise and back off and keep your respect and keep your friendship. I won't do that, because I owe it to you to tell you the truth about it. Now, these next verses cannot be understood unless you understand what fellowship is. Fellowship with God means I'm going to do it God's way. It means I'm going to do it the way he said. It means I'm going to follow what God tells me to do. This book right here, this book is truth. And this book tells you the path and the road you should follow. Fellowship with God depends on you doing what he said in accordance with this book. So if you're in one of these churches, and if you've been baptized properly, and if you're following the Lord, and you're learning from his word, and you really believe that this is the word of God, and you really believe it contains no error, and you've been saved, and you've been scripturally baptized, and you're continuing steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers, and you're trying to change your attitude to follow this book and to do what this book says, you're not going to ask for anything that's not in his will. You just won't do it. And you understand another principle. If you ask for something and it's not his will, you know that he won't do it. Where did you learn that? From that book. That's staying in fellowship with the Lord. So when you read these words, you've got to understand that all this is based on fellowship with the Lord. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, remember what the church is, the pillar and ground of the truth, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. When I ask what I will, if I'm in God's will, and if I'm following His word, and I'm in fellowship with Him because I am in His church and love His church and want the best things for His church, God will do whatever I ask. Now, how do you always close your prayer? If it be thy will. When you say, if it be thy will, you're acknowledging a principle in Scripture. If it's not God's will, you don't want Him to do it. And that's basically what that says. There are a lot of people on television now saying, all you have to do is just have to have someone else agree with you in Scripture. You just pray together, and God will do it if your faith is strong enough. What a blasphemous, ungodly premise. What a blasphemous, ungodly statement to say before God and have the audacity to believe that you have a right to override the will of God. Anyone who does that has no concept of what fellowship with God is. Fellowship with God is confidence in God. It is knowing that God knows what's right, asking in accordance with this book, and knowing that if you have not asked properly and you are not in fellowship with God, He won't do it. And you don't want Him to do it. That's when you're in fellowship with God. The greatest error that has ever been introduced into the family of God is the idea that whenever you and someone else get together and agree on something, and you pray and ask it in His name, if you have enough faith in Him, He will do it. That is not faith in God. That is faith in your own ability, faith in your own opinion as to what God should do, and you're overriding the intelligence and the will and the purpose of God. That's why these yahoos on television are not in fellowship with God. You have a lot of saved people who come to Jesus Christ and ask Him for salvation. There's no question about that. And you have a lot of them that come to understand security of the believer. But then they tell you these blasphemous lies that you, as an individual, if you have enough faith when you pray, God will do it. That is obscene, it is ungodly, and it is unscriptural. Because when you pray, you're supposed to acknowledge in your heart, if you're in fellowship with God, that He knows what's best. If Doc Marshall recovers, I'll praise God. If Doc Marshall dies, I'll praise God. No matter what happens to any request that is made on this prayer request list, whatever happens, I accept as the will of God. I had a fellow tell me one time, as I've told you many times, he said, well, that way, God will never fail. You know what I told him? You've got it, Clyde. You finally understand it. God can't fail, but you can. In any case, this is about fellowship. You think I badger you all the time about joining the church, and about being faithful and coming and attending it, because I just want to see your name on a church roll? You think I don't have any more love and concern and compassion for you than that? You think this is just an exercise in preaching and self-will and imposing my will on you and the will of the church? God forbid. I encourage people that are saved to join the church because that's where the Lord meant for you to be, because He organized it during His earthly ministry and carried it around with Him for more than 3.5 years. He said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Anytime I ask something from God and it is answered in the way that I ask, I know it was God's will, and I know that I have correctly interpreted the Word of God and understood it. Anytime I ask God for something and it is not granted, I know that it is God's will, and I accept it on the basis of the fact that God knows what He's doing. He says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. You know, that's an amazing statement. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. He gave a summation of all the commandments of Moses. He said, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy might and all thy soul and thy neighbor as thyself. He told this lawyer, this do, and thou shalt live. The lawyer couldn't do it. Jesus knew he couldn't do it. So what does it mean to keep his commandments? Can you keep those two perfectly? Only Jesus could. But what can you do? At the end of his ministry, in chapter 13 of this same book, after he had led this group of men for more than 3 years, had seen all their mistakes, all their ups and downs, all their idiosyncrasies, all their spiritual stupidity just like ours, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So shall all men know that you are my disciples. That is what the vine is, his body, his local church. If the people in this community see that you love the Lord, they see your faithful attendance. Oh, they may ridicule you for it. They may say unkind things behind your back. But it bothers them. It bothers them because you're faithful to God. It bothers them because you're coming to a local church and giving glory to Him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there's an awful lot to be said for the way Jesus organized the church and the way the first church functioned. We've changed a lot of things the church is supposed to be and the church is supposed to do, and we've turned it into an industrial trade center and more into a business than in a place where people learn to love one another. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. You can't abide in fellowship with God and fall out of love with His church. You can't do it. A lot of people try. They never are successful. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and your joy might be full. Listen, I tried a lot of different things to find joy in life. At age 72, I can look back and see all the things that I thought would give me joy. Well, now I know what joy is. It's being right here, where I am, with you, as your pastor. And I love you, and I care for you. Oh, I know there are things about me that you probably don't like. I'm sure there are, and I'm sure I get some criticism once in a while. Oh, I deserve it. I don't mind that. That's what life's all about. But the truth of the matter is, I have finally found what I looked for as a youth and desperately tried to find in life. I tried to find it in all sorts of things, all the way up until I was in my 40s. But now I finally found it. It was right there under my nose all the time. To be in one of God's local churches, not as a tyrant over it, not as a man who is in control of it, like Diotrephes, but as a man who is a functioning part of it, who is a part of the local body of Christ, and who is trying to learn to love as Christ loved me and loved you. Didn't say I'd ever attain it in this life, but I'm trying. That you love one another. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You keep that one commandment, you don't have to worry about the rest. You keep that one commandment, loving the brethren in the body, the vine, which is the body of Christ, which is the local church. You learn to love them. And believe it or not, the commandments will take care of themselves. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. Abraham became the friend of God. And God called him out. He was saved. But over his lifetime, he became the friend of God. You want to become a friend of God? Well, like I say, it's fellowship. That's what this is talking about. This isn't like a human friendship where you have someone that you love. It isn't your wife. It isn't your husband. You learn how to compromise between one another. You learn what makes the other mad, what makes the other glad. And sometimes you stay away from these areas. You don't have to do that with Jesus, because Jesus never gets mad at you. And as long as you're trying to do what he wants, as long as you're trying to follow his will, It's trying, as long as you're trying to do what he commanded you, as long as you're in the vine, as long as you're in one of his local churches, as long as you're trying to do what he wants, you're his friend. You're his friend. He's always been your friend. But you become his friend by learning to love the people in a local New Testament church. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Do you know that the man who wrote this had no idea that one day it would be right here in a little place he never heard of called Dartnell? Do you know that the man who wrote this by the very Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God? Do you know that all these things that we've been looking at in the book of John are the things he made known unto them and the Holy Spirit made known unto us? That's the truth. That's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you to know that this man who died for you, who died for me, who died for us all, that we might be saved, establish some way that you could have a special relationship with him by doing what he said, and he didn't make it impossible. He made it very possible in the local church to stay in fellowship with him and to understand what real joy is. We'll start right here in verse 16, Lord willing, next Sunday. I got my watch set a little bit further ahead than I usually do. Susan, you look very pretty this morning. You look very pretty.